He is Mahaprabhu, the great master, the maintainer of the whole world. He is the shining moon of Mayapur and the source of all nectar for the land of Navadvip. Sachisuta Gaura Hari Nimai Sundar Radha Bhava Kanti Achatita Natabar. He is the beloved son of Sachimata and is Lord Hari with a fair golden complexion. As he was born under a neem tree, he was called Nimai Sundar. He is covered by the sentiment and luster of Srimati Radharani and is the best of all dancers. 3. Namananda Chapala Bala Kamadri Bhakta Brahmanda Vadana Tarki Kotukanu Rakta. He becomes restless upon hearing the holy names of Lord Hari. In his boyhood pastimes, he is swift and agile and is devoted to his mother. He displays the entire universe within his mouth and is a great logician and fond of joking and playing pranks. 4. Vidyateyo dupachora dvareya mohan atartita sarvasvagramya balika kridan. He is the moon among scholarly students, and he bewildered the two thieves who tried to steal his jewels when he was a small child. He is the cynosure of all philosophers, and he teased and choked with the village girls of Nadia. Lakshmi prati bora datta udata balaka sri sacheda pati putra shoka nirbaraka. He is the giver of blessings to Lakshmi Priya, his first wife. He is very mischievous as a child and is the dispeller of the grief that Sachimata felt after losing her husband, Jagannath, and first son, Vishnu Priya, Vishwarup. Lakshmi Pati Purabade Sarabakleshahar Adigvijaya Dorabahari Vishnu Priyeshwar. He is the lord and husband of Lakshmi Priya. By his Sankirtan movement, he removed all the distress of East Bengal, and he eradicated the pride of the conquering pundit named Keshav Kashmiri, and is the beloved lord of Vishnupriya, his second wife. Arya Dharma Pala Pitrigaya Pindadata Purishisha Madhvacharja Sampradaya Pata. He is the preserver of the Sankirtan Dharma, Sanatana Dharma, and the giver of the Pinda Oblation at the holy town of Gaya after the disappearance of his father Jagannath Mishra. He became the disciple of Ishwarapuri and is the protector of the Madhvacharya Sampradaya. Krishna Namunamata Krishna Tattva Adyapaka Nama Sankirtana Juga Dharma Pravartaka. He becomes madly intoxicated by tasting the holy name of Krishna and is the professor of the science of Krishna consciousness. Thus he inaugurated the religion of the age, Nama Sankirtan. Advaita Pandava Srinivasa Griyadhan Nityananda Pranagada Dadhira Jivan. He is the friend of Advaita Acharya, the treasure of Shiva's Thakur's home, the life and soul of Nityananda Prabhu, and the very source of life for Gadadhar Pandit. Antadvipa Shashadara Simantad Vijay Godruma Bihari Madhyadvipa Lila Shroy. He is the moon of Antadvip, the triumph of Simantadvip, and joys frolicking and wandering in the isle of the Godrumdvip, and is the shelter of pastimes in Madhyadvip. Koladvipa Paturita Dvipa Maheshwar Ajanu Modra Druma Ruda Dvipira Ishwar. He is the lord of Koladvip, the great controller of Ritadvip, and the creator of Janudvip, Modra Druma Dvip, and Rudadvip. Navakandan Ranganatha Janavijivan Jagai Madhai Adi Dubrita Taran. He is thus the supreme lord of the nine islands of Navadvip, which serves as the stage for his wonderful pastimes. He is the life of the river Ganga and the deliverer of all sorts of rogues and rascals, beginning with Jagaya Madhai. Nagara Kirtana Samakajiyo Dharan Asudha Nama Pracharaka Bhakta Tiharan. He is the lion of the village Kirtans and the deliverer of Chankazi. He is the preacher of the pure holy name and the remover of the distresses of his devotees. Narayaniya Kripa Sindhu Chivera Niyanta Adama Paduya Dandi Bhakta Dosha Hanta. He is the ocean of mercy for Narayani, the mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur, and is the regulator of all souls. Jivera Niyanta. He is the chastiser of the fallen students who criticize his chanting of Gopi Gopi and is the destroyer of the sins of his devotees. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Chandra Bharati Taran Pari Vraja Shiromoni Utkala Pavan. So this is now, this goes into Madhya Leela now. He was initiated in sannyas with the name of Shri Krishna Chaitanya, and he is beautiful like the moon. He delivered his sannyas Guru Keshava Bharati, is himself the crest jewel of all wandering renunciates, and is the savior of the region of Orissa. Ambulinga Bhuvanesha Kapotesha Pati Kira Chora Gopala Darshana Sukiyati. He's the master of Lord Shiva, who is known in the three different Shaiva Tirthas as Ambulinga Bhuvaneshwar and Kapoteshwar, visited by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on his way to Puri. As a sannyasi, he rejoiced at the sight of the deities Kirchor Gopinath and Shakshi Gopal. Nirdana sannyasi sarva bhoma kripa moy swananda aswanandandi sarva sukashvoy. He became a sannyasi without a dunder due to Lord Nityananda's breaking it in three parts and throwing it in the Bargi River. And he is full of mercy for Sarvabhauma Patacharja. He's ecstatic by tasting the bliss of himself in the form of Krishna. And he's the resting place of all universal happiness. Purata Sundara Vasudeva Trana Kurta Ramananda Sukha Patta Kula Klesha Harta. He's beautiful like molten gold, and he delivered the leper Vasudeva. He's the intimate friend of Ramananda Rai and the remover of all miseries from the family of Vyankatabhatta. So this is about Mahaprabhu's traveling in South India now. Bodha Jaina Mayavadi Kutarka Kandan Adakshina Pavana Bhakti Granta Udharan. He's the refuter of the atheistic arguments of the Buddhists, the Jains, the Mayavadis, the savior of South India. And he has brought to light the two devotional literatures, Krishna Karnamrita and Brahma Samhita. Alala Darshana Nandi Ratha Granantaka Gajapati Trana Devananda Udharaka. So when he returned to Puri, he became ecstatic at the sight of the deity Alalanath, and he danced in front of the Jagannath cart and Rath Yatra festival, delivered Gajapati Prataparudra, and was a savior of Devananda Pandit. Kuliya Prakasha Dushta Paduyara Tran Arupa Sanatana Bandhu Sarvajiva Pran. By his appearance at Kuliya, he delivered the ill-behaved student community there. He's the friend of Rupa and Sanatana and the life of all souls. Vrindavananda Murti Balabhadra Sangi Javana Udara Bhatta Balabhara Rangi. On the way to Vrindavan, he's the personification of bliss in the transcendental realm of Vrindavan and is the companion and friend of Balabhadra Bhattacharya. On his return from Vrindavan, he delivered many Mahamanans. Oh, that was when he made the patans, the patan Vaishnavas. He's very fond of intimate exchanges with Balabhabhatta. Kashibasi Sanyasi Udara Premadatta Markata Vairaga Dandi Achandala Tratra. He's to deliver the Mayavadi Sannyasis of Kashi. And he is the bestower of love of God. He's a chastiser of false renunciates called Markat Vairagis, for being like monkeys. And he's the savior of everyone down to the lowest class of men. Bhakti Raghurava Kori Bhakta Pranadan Haridasa Raghunatha Sarupa Jivan. He's the glorifier of his devotees and is the treasured wealth of their lives. He's the very life of such devotees such as Haridas Thakur, Raghunath Das Goswami, Sarup Damodar. Nagadiya Nagari Niti Nitai Niti Niti Gaire Bhagati Vinoda Tara Puri Rangupaire. In the villages of Nadia, Lord Nityananda dances in ecstatic. They chant while singing these divine names. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur falls down at his reddish lotus feet. So, then that one, along with this bhajan, Godruma Pati Gaura Nitai Jivana Advaitira Dana Vrindavana Bhava Biboro Gadarara Prana Shiva Sasaram Krishna Bhakta Manasa Chora, Krishna Bhakta Manasa Chora. All glories to Lord Gaura, the master of Godruma. He's the very life of Lord Nityananda, the treasure of Advaita, and is always overwhelmed with ecstatic moods of Vrindavan. He's the life breath of Gadadhara Pandit, and the shelter of Shiva Pandit, and the thief of the hearts of all the devotees of Lord Krishna. Then this third bhajan is the last of the 100 names of Lord Chaitanya. Kali Yuga Pavana Vishambar Gora Chitaka Gana Sasadar Kirtana Vidata Para Prema Data Satisuta Purata Sundara Satisuta Purata Sundara. Lord Vishvambar is the savior of the age of Kali, the full moon in the sky of the hearts of Bengal, the inaugurator of congregational chanting, the store of transcendental ecstatic love, the beloved son of Mother Sachi, and he has a pure golden complexion. So these three bhajans, then Mahaprabhu Shatanam, and this one, Gudrumapati Gora, and this one, Kali Yuga Pavana Vishvambar, the third one, these ones comprise 100 names. Now what was interesting is that there's one more bhajan that Bhaktivinoda Thakur put there also in that section. Krishna Chaitanya Yadvaita Prabhu Nityananda Gadadara Srinivas Murari Mukunda Sarabhrupa Raghunath Puri Ramananda. That's it. Please chant these holy names of the Lord and his personal associates, Krishna Chaitanya Advaita Prabhu Nityananda Gadadara Srinivas Murari Mukunda Sarup Rupa Sanatan Puri and Ramananda. So these are all four bhajans that are in that section called this Srimad Mahaprabhu Shatanam section. All four bhajans together. So these bhajans, the nicest thing about them is that the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita is mentioned there very ecstatically in codes. And you can actually follow the whole thing from end to end. Bhaktivinoda Thakur got Chaitanya Charitamrita originally from P.C. Roy. P.C. Roy gave him the manuscript. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was looking for it. It took a long time. And P.C. Roy, his friend, had to look a lot for that manuscript. Finally, he found it. It was like almost lost. We have to say that Chaitanya Charitamrita was pretty close to getting lost at that time. There was only like, I think P.C. Roy found two manuscripts, and one of them was incomplete. That was the situation. So one of them was incomplete, so let's just say that it was very, very close to getting lost, getting destroyed. And the reason is because in Bengal, they don't keep manuscripts very carefully. That's the problem. And people have them, they mostly fall apart due to the rainy season. And sometimes people use them for when the Babaji's die, their disciples are not so spiritual. And as a result, sometimes they use it for cooking and stuff like that. We've heard stories like that from one Sanskrit pundit godbrother of mine named Mukunda Dutta. He told me that. And so these things happen. And as a result, it's not surprising sometimes when manuscripts are lost due to time. And another aspect of it, according to Bharati Maharaj of the Grand Road Gaudiya Math, he told me this personally, that the Mohammedans, the Mughals, who were in charge from Agra, they killed so many sadhus, broke so many temples, and burnt so many manuscripts. And he said that the fires, when Kashi was invaded by the Mughals, the fires that burnt the manuscripts were going on for 3 years continuously. It said 3 years continuously. So it's not surprising, he said, that it is not at all surprising, he said, that the manuscripts are not there. You should be surprised if the manuscripts are there. He was telling me, be surprised if the manuscripts are there. So that was the situation. And because I was asking him about it when I showed him Prayobhakti Rasarnava in 1999. And because I knew him from 1987, when both of us attended Bhakti Vaibhav Puri Maharaj's installation, second temple installation in Radhanagar and Vishakhapatnam. Bhakti Vaibhav Puri Maharaj just left his body recently on March 3rd. And Basu Ghosh just sent me photos from his samadhi ceremony, which was attended by Radhanath Maharaj and some other prominent devotees. So, very close to Prabhupada, he was. So, this is actually very rare to see. When I asked him if there was any other literatures about Krishna Balaram Tattva from the Dvadasha Gopalas, he says, doubt you'll find it. Because I said, none of their followers wrote anything. He goes, they must have written something, but it's just no longer extant. That's all. Of course they must have composed something. So the idea of it is that today is Jagannath Mishra Utsav. This day, Jagannath Mishra gave in charity to the Brahmins, and they had a festival glorifying Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance in his family. And today was considered to be the day that Nilambar Chakravarti did astrological calculations for Lord Chaitanya's birth and set it up with Jagannath Mishra, the course of his education and his training based upon that, what day was suitable for his starting education, etc. So this utsav was taking place on this day. So this is a day that also is dedicated to Smarana of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila chapter 14, Kaviraj Goswami very nicely says, Katanchana smrte yasmin duskaram sukaranga bhavet vishmate viparitam syat sri chaitanya namamitam. That in this world, easy things, difficult things become very easy if you'll remember Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if you forget him, then difficult things become very easy if you remember Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if you forget him, then easy things become very difficult. So we should remember the Supreme Personality of God with all of our activities. And indeed, as Gita mentions, that Krishna admonishes Arjuna at the end of his instructions to him, that if you just depend upon me, contemplate me, and work under my direction, in such Krishna consciousness, be fully absorbed in me. And if you'll be absorbed in me, then you'll cross over all material miseries by my grace. Whereas if you don't, being infatuated by your ahankara, you'll be finished. So, although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the chastiser of the pride of devotees such as Keshav Kashmiri and others, destroying the Darpahari, he steals away the pride of a person. Yet he was very merciful to, as indeed Saraswati Devi was to Keshav Kashmiri and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, great scholars. Mahaprabhu purified them and brought them to his lotus feet, and they became devotees. So, and it was also at the time of the pastimes of Govinda in Narendra Sarovara, it was stated that some of the devotees, Pratapa Rudra Raja and others, were actually surprised that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who previously was a very grave Advaitist, he became a very loving, frolicsome person in the waters of Narendra Sarovara. Just was playing with the devotees from Bengal, just like a child. You know, he would play with splashing water on them and like that. And probably of devotees of his own age, such as Advaita Acharya, etc. And they were surprised actually that he had changed so much in his aspects of being a devotee. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did so much. Now another thing of note was that when he was coming back from Vrindavan, he went through Varanasi, and aside from delivering Prakashananda Saraswati Pad, it was also mentioned that he delivered some patans. Now, his Dyajuli Khan was actually the son of the Mughal emperor in Delhi at the time, and he was associated with a very powerful Quranic scholar, Mullah, that was with him. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described from that Shastra where the holy name was written and presented very tactfully that how the holy name should be chanted, and convinced them by his influence. And they became famous, it was described, the Pathan Vaishnavas, they became famous. They traveled throughout the region, Kaviraj Goswami said, and they visited many holy places and became very famous. Now, you can imagine that if they were traveling on the main roads, they were Pathans, they were actually from Afghanistan's side. So, this means that they had whitish complexion and were very stout and muscular, like Punjabis. And this must have raised a lot of curiosity amongst the guards at the toll booth, the toll gates, etc., which were all run by the Mohammedans at the time. And you can imagine they must have got a fair share of flack, to say the least. They must have had a lot of obstacles, to say the least, in their traveling, in their going from place to place. That is not described, but it just goes to understand, it just must be the nature of fanatical Islam and the nature of the Mughals, Raja, in history. With the exception of Akbar, all of them were pretty fanatical. It was quite clear. So, that the fact that Bijuli Khan and the others were actually able to surmount all those obstacles and continue their life in devotion to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shows the power of the holy name and shows the power of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's influence and his mercy on them. It also goes to show that if any jiva is very sincere in their approach, and then it's a possibility. They're a candidate for getting mercy. So we should, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed, just like recently I've been relishing a bhajan, which is written by a Muslim kavi, a Vaishnava kavi. It was born in a Muslim man family. And it was composed by Nasir Mahmood, and he glorified Krishna and Balaram very wonderfully in that bhajan, based on Shrimad Bhagavatam, etc. And it was obvious that he was well trained by devotees. There is a book done by Gokulananda Sen in the 1850s and was quoted by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's scholarly disciple N.K. Sanyal. And he mentioned that there was Padakalpataru, a bhajan book, and there was mentioned about 45 Muslim kavis who became Vaishnavas. And they wrote bhajans in different ragas, glorifying Radha Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Krishna and Balaram also. So it was very amazing that Lord Chaitanya's mission could actually touch the hearts of so many people and so many different backgrounds. Mahaprabhu didn't care, and Nityananda didn't care where they, what background they came from. Simply if they chanted Hare Krishna and associated with devotees, they could be considered. So, because Mahaprabhu was the distributor of God consciousness to the most fallen, it is actually amazing. And these, not only they were picked up by Gauranga, but he actually brought many of them to the highest pinnacles of devotion by the inspiration they got from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's contribution. So in this sense, when you consider the whole thing about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, as Kaviraj Goswami very nicely mentions, that Chaitanya Radaya Kata Korila Bichar Bichar Karele Chitte Pabe Chamatkar. You just try to understand the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and if you will do so, you'll understand that it's most magnificent. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as described in a letter that he wrote, his autobiography, a 200-page letter that he wrote to his youngest son, Lalit Prasad Thakur, who left his body around 1972. He said that the first time I read Chaitanya Charitamrita, I was thinking that he was very munificent. Just like Jesus Christ and others are very munificent. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very munificent. Then he said the second time Bhaktivinoda said he read it, then I realized that there was nobody more munificent than him. That actually his munificence was even greater than the others. So, this was what propelled Bhaktivinoda Thakur forward in his writings, etc. This festival day is a day of joy. It's a day to rejoice in the accomplishment of Advaita Acharya, who actually called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come. I asked Manuswami yesterday, I asked that the question that came to mind was that Advaita Acharya is Purna. He's Mahavishnu himself. So why did he have to call Gauranga to come down when actually he's powerful enough to deliver? Indeed he does. He has his own line. And he appeared 50 years before Gauranga. And he lived another 127 years after Gauranga had left. Another 27 years. Totally, he lived about 125 years on the planet. Advaita Acharya is known. And he was very famous in distributing bhakti. Very famous. So he could have done it. Yet he wanted Gauranga to come. So Bhanaswami answered it like that. He says, but actually, when you consider that Advaita Acharya considered himself just an amsha, just a part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So whatever the part and parcel can do, the Supreme Lord can do much better. So therefore, he wanted the Supreme Lord to descend because he could do a much better job than Advaita Acharya himself could personally do. Although, the illusory energy is certainly under the shelter of Advaita Acharya. So he could have done it, actually. And what was interesting is Advaita Acharya was very angry at the degradation of the populace from the smartas, etc. There was even a statement that if Lord Chaitanya did not come to deliver them, Advaita Acharya said, we'll kill them all. He said, they'll be so fallen, I'll lose my patience and I will simply kill them all. So it was very interesting how Advaita Acharya called Gauranga to come down. So in this sense, although it was a festival of Jagannath Mishra's happiness of getting Nimai Sundar as a son, this is why this is called Jagannath Mishra Utsav. But it's actually in that sense, another sense, it's actually an Utsav for Advaita Acharya accomplishment of actually bringing the Supreme Personality of Godhead down. And more than anyone else, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave credit to Advaita Acharya for the person who actually called him down. So much so that in his Antya Leela, when he was hardly externally aware that sometimes when Advaita Acharya would come there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in ecstasy would roar out his name again and again and said, he is the person who brought me down. He is the person who called me to come. So after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sangatan mission was so much, and Nitya and Gauranga started to taste the pangs of separation that Srimati Radharani feels from Krishna for the last 6 years of his manifestation in Jagannath Puri, then at that time, the residents coming from Bengal, they could hardly recognize Gauranga in the sense that he was completely changed. And he was so internal that he hardly recognized them also. The other devotees, they would come, Shivananda Say, Nityananda, and Advaita Acharya, and all the others, they would come. And actually, Gauranga would not even be hardly externally aware. So they could hardly talk with Gauranga. They could hardly talk with Gauranga. And Gauranga had predicted that would happen. So he told Nityananda Prabhu that you don't need to come anymore. You don't need to come every year at Radha Yatra Festival. You can come every so often when you want, but you don't have to come every year. And so it was described that the only persons that actually had association with Gauranga in that period of these ecstatic moods was Srimati Radhika's own personal servants, Lalita Devi and Vishakha, which are manifested as Saurabh Damodar and Raya Ramananda. Only they had access to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstasies and moods and like that. Otherwise, other devotees, Gauranga was hardly externally aware. So, yet still he, and therefore, when that happened, when sometimes Gauranga would come back into external consciousness, then Advaita Acharya was there. He gave a very cryptic statement that the whole world, because of your influences, the whole world has become mad with love of Godhead. And in the bazaar, there's no rice. It's like kind of cryptic. There's no rice in the market because people are so absorbed in chanting now, they don't sell much. And he said, and everyone has become mad by the shelter of the holy name. So Gauranga took that. That is the only statement which is made that gives an indication of Gauranga Mahaprabhu's departure. That statement of Advaita Acharya, that he and Gauranga later on told Ramananda Raya and Saurabh Damodar that he that has called me down is mentioned to me that my mission is finished. So that the devotees take that statement of Advaita Acharya as the indication for Lord Chaitanya's departure. And other than that statement, there's no other reason that devotees can ascertain why Gauranga Mahaprabhu left this world from the devotees, aside from that statement of Advaita Acharya. Any case, so Advaita Acharya was extremely prominent. All of the Panchatattva, they did their fair bit in assisting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission of distributing Krishna consciousness. And Mahaprabhu did everything through them. At the same time, the last 6 years of his life, he was not even hardly externally aware. But that was not surprising because he came to teach that. And devotees, such as Vasudev Datta and others, they actually followed that. Krishwar Pandit, but Krishwar, it was Vrakreshwara Pandit and also the other Vasudeva Datta and Parameshwari Das and a few others, they were hardly externally aware. The same with many of the Dwadasha Gopalas, hardly external aware, but because of the chanting of the holy name and absorbing in Nityananda Prabhu, they were hardly externally aware, it was described. So this is actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's contribution was not only distributed the holy name for the general mass of people's benefit, but actually they plumbed the very depths of bhakti and tasted it and relished it in its deepest format so that devotees could actually become more than liberated. They would become completely detached from this material world completely and absorb in the spiritual world. And indeed, that remains the goal of the Vaishnava devotees. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, that when all obstacles to the pure chanting of the holy name is removed and destroyed, then our happiness knows its genuine awakening. So, it's actually an astounding thing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought. He relished the four relationships with Krishna by tasting them himself, distributed it to other devotees, and himself tasted the highest aspect of devotional ecstasies, and encouraged the devotees to taste the same. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's contribution. And therefore this today, this festival, Jagannath Mishra Utsav, is a festival also for Advaita Acharya's accomplishment in bringing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu down. Therefore yesterday, there's actually a bhajan by Vasudev Ghosh, which is very, very famous in this connection. Yadi Gaura na hoito, tabuta na hoito, He said, if Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not appeared, if he had not come, then how would we have understood the transcendental love that Srimati Radha has got for Krishna? How would we have ever understand that? We would have never understand that in this world unless he came to teach it. Therefore, he says, Gao gao puno gaurange raguna sharilo karilo man. Again and again, sing the glories of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and keep your mind very, very simple. It's actually a very cardinal rule of Krishna consciousness to always remain simple. Now, the essence of simplicity is this sense of ashraya, that we take shelter of our Lords and we know no one else. And therefore, as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that say bhakta danya, wealthy is that devotee, yena chari prabhura charana, who never gives up the lotus feet of his Lords. Whether it's the spiritual master or whether it's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they never give that up. And say prabhu danya, wealthy is that master, yena chari nidrajana, who never gives up his own men. Yadi seva kapatita, yaya anyastani, say takura danya yaya chule dare ane. He says, if somehow or other that servant, because of the illusory energy, falls down and goes somewhere else, great is that Lord who goes there and grabs him by the hair and brings him back. So it shows the responsibility of not only uplifting people, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, but protecting them from the illusory energy. And if somehow or another, because the living entities are so minute and the illusory energy is so strong, if somehow or another by the influence of the illusory energy they have difficulties, we should be prepared to go after them. The examples of that, Prabhupada used to tell the stories about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that if any devotee had a disagreement in the ashram, it went his way, then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would get very angry about that. And he would say that we spend gallons of our own blood to train somebody, and then they go away over some very insignificant argument. What is that? Go bring him back. And he would send him back to their village, send a party of devotees back to their village to get them and bring them back to the mud. And we would heard stories about the early days of the society, that if somebody left due to the influence of the illusory energy, Prabhupada would sometimes cry for hours and hours in affection for that missing devotee. So it's our acharyas have shown us how much we should really regard another devotee, how much we should really love another devotee. And that love extends far beyond just bringing them to Krishna consciousness, encouraging them to be with the devotees, training them a little bit. It actually goes much further. The affection goes so deep. It goes much further than just simply bringing them to Krishna consciousness, training them. It's a lifelong commitment. Basically, a friendship with another devotee means it's a lifelong commitment. You're committed to them. And that is actually what's the essence that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has done. He committed himself to delivering living entities, and he accepted, because Nityananda Prabhu was so merciful to Jagaya Madhai, the fallen ones. Therefore, because of Nitya's compassion, Gauranga became compassionate. And he stated that Nityananda could distribute love of God into more people than he could. He said that Nitya was more compassionate than he. So it was quite an astounding thing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed love of God into so many people. Just like I remember once when on the Parikrama party, they took us to Madhai's Samadhi, somewhere in Birbhum district or something, Bardhaman district, I think. Just not so far on the other side of Navadweep, a little bit up towards Kanda, Sri Kanda village. And I remember that when there was some artist rendition of what he looked like, approximately. And when you look at his face, you really think, this guy was really a gunda. You know, really a thief, a rogue, like that. But his eyes are extremely soft. The eyes of this person is really soft. Janavamata was glorified in Bhakti Ratnakara. She also did it on very, very amazing levels of compassion. She actually brought many people who were very fallen in states in Bangladesh. She actually brought them to Krishna consciousness and purified them of their anarthas. They would fall at her feet and surrender in amazing ways. So Ma Janava was actually, she did very motherly affection for the servants of Lord Chaitanya. She would personally cook for them and serve them prasadam with her own hands, and she was very sweet. At the same time, she delivered so many people, Bhakti Ratnakara mentioned. So this whole mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's compassion is flowing through the hearts of his devotees. Therefore, Gauranga stated that these devotees are the life and soul of me, and they can sell me in the market for whatever they like. Whatever they like. It means if this devotee wishes to be merciful to some living entity, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will agree unreservedly. That is the most amazing thing. So we have to realize that we have no personal qualification at all. The only qualification we got is somehow or other, inconceivably, a devotee came into our life and brought us to the devotees. And from there on, our good fortune occurred. Otherwise, we have no good fortune. Our good fortune is made up of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, our spiritual master, and the association of the devotees. And we have nothing else for us. So, and yet, that mercy of the Vaishnavas, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the association of Bodhi, is everything. It's actually everything. Everything is available within that. The mercy of the Vaishnavas, the mercy of the spiritual master, and the association of devotees. Everything is available there. As long as we're prepared to stay simple. Therefore, we should always try to keep our mind and heart very simple. As long as we stay in this process of chanting Hare Krishna, association with devotees, and engaging our mind and senses in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, success is indeed assured. Now, some people may state that it is possible to go back in this particular life. It is generally very difficult. It is possible if one is extremely determined. Generally speaking, it takes a little longer. But the point is that even if it takes a little longer, if one is not able to finish Krishna consciousness in this particular life, still, there's never any loss or diminution in this chanting of Hare Krishna in association with devotees. Because Krishna is so merciful, Gauranga is so merciful, that even if a devotee has to take birth again, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always protecting the devotees, so they will personally take them to their next mother's womb. It was like a personal escort. And this living entity can make advancement from there onwards. In any case, it may take some time, but any time it takes in this material world is simply a flash in comparison to the entire eternality. So it is nothing. A few births is nothing. Even if that, it is possible, of course, to go back to home, back to Godhead in this life. Generally, as Sanatana Goswami Prabhupada mentions in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that the most general thing is that the Parshadas, the associates of the Supreme Lord, call us to come. If they call us, then we are a candidate for Krishna's Bhoma-lila, somewhere where he's enacting his pastimes within the Brahmandas, different universal systems. So before Krishna descends, he sends his devotees, his elders, his superiors, and different demigods also come from that particular universe to come to assist. And these devotees who are being trainees, they're actually coming from different situations. They're actually being trained up by the eternally liberated devotees in that land of Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwaraka, etc., Swadeshwar, according to their hankering. And after being trained by the eternal associates of the Lord, then upon Krishna's closing that pastimes, they are promoted. So Sanatana Goswami Pad describes in Bhagavad Tamrita that is the general process. It's interesting that even if you wish to go back to home, back to Godhead, you still have to take birth with the devotees. Where the devotees perform their pastimes and you're trained by them. How to engage in eternal service. And then you so-called quit your body, being bound up by the Lord's energy, the Lord's Yogamaya energy. And you become promoted. So it is most astounding that this process can work. And even if it takes some time, we should never be hesitant about that. Because sometimes it takes a long time for the living entities to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead without any other motivation or factor. It takes time. So therefore, it's not the fault of the process. The process is in our application. So we have to apply it continually more and more and more. We try to distribute it to other people. And at the same time, we also know that our ability to distribute is also limited. It's also dependent upon our surrender, our degree of appreciation. So whatever we appreciate ourselves, then the devotee becomes empowered by the mercy of the Lord and his previous acharyas to also do amazing things. But unless that requires that how much you can actually change the heart of a person depends upon your own abhyasa, your own application. So the devotees, they always feel if ever there's in preaching work or cultivation work, if there's any discrepancy or deficiency, they don't put it. Of course, it can be on the jiva. But the point is that the devotees desire it strongly, and that the Supreme Lord is especially merciful, then there is no material obstacle, ultimately. There's no material obstacle, ultimately, for those devotees. So they think, why is there an obstacle? It must be my impurity. It must be my lack of surrender. It must be my lack of devotion that's causing it. And therefore they look internally and they become more and more attentive and trying to become more and more pure. And to that extent, then Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu utilizes the devotees. So, we never give up preaching. But our preaching success depends upon the mercy of the spiritual master and the previous Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the previous acharyas, if we can be successful or not. And the devotee takes it as the onus is on me to apply more and more and more this process. And if we do so very sincerely, then we'll be more and more effective and being an instrument in the hands of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that is actually what the goal of human life is, to become simply an instrument in the hands of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his surrendered devotees. Tvada brithya brithya paricharaka brithya brithyasya brithyasya brithya iti mam smara loka natha. Kulashekara Raja Swami says that the perfection of my life that I'll get my upcoming sojourns of births is that I just want to be considered to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of your servant. 7 times removed. And may that recognition of yours, my Lord, of that position of mine, will be my greatest perfection. So that's what perfection is all about. Becoming more and more absorbed. But I remember when one Vaishnava left his body in Sharjah area or something. He was a very nice devotee. And so one day he woke up. He was having some heart palpitations, some anxieties. So he offered obeisances at the feet of his spiritual master and he collapsed. And then 4 days later in the hospital he left his body. And he was always serving devotees very attentively in that area, educating them. Him and his wife were extremely selfless. So I remember that, and the devotees were speaking so glowingly about the service of that Vaishnava. Then this verse came up. Siddhir Bhavati Vaneti, a Sangh Sayora Chuta Sevina. If somebody's trying to serve the infallible Lord Achyuta, this is Chaitanya Bhagavad, Antyakanda, chapter 3, verse number 486. There Gauranga is talking about the mercy that Vrakreshwar Pandit has given to Devananda Pandit, which is a big smartic critic. He was. And by the mercy of Vrakreshwar Pandit, completely changed his life. So, Gauranga says, Siddhir Bhavati Vaneti. If somebody tries to serve the infallible Lord Achyuta, will they be perfect or not? Well, we might have a doubt. But he says, Nisamsayat Stutada Bhakta Paricharya Radharmanam. If somebody developed a taste for serving devotees, Paricharya Radharmanam, then there is no doubt. Nisamsayat. Don't doubt. And Narottam Thakur Mahasai also said in his bhajan, Acharya Vaishnav Seva Nishtar Payecha Keva. Nobody became liberated unless by serving Vaishnavas. Now what is serving Vaishnavas then? Aside from serving their material body, which comes and goes, that is not the real essence of service. The essence of serving devotees is actually to give them the hankering and facility toward their relationship with Krishna. Each and every devotee has a specific hankering to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead in a very tasty way. By hearing and chanting, gradually that service desire awakens. And our great good fortune means to fan that spark more and more and more and provide them. If you provide them exactly what they require for their nectar, for Krishna consciousness, that will inspire them to go deeper and deeper into bhakti. That is real service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is real service to Gauranga. That is real service to Guru Maharaj. That is real service to the Vaishnavas and the Vaishnavis, local, is to help them. Because every one of us is coming and going on the path. We all... Deyastitayam paraloka margi. Those who are in this material body or contemplating this body, we have to die like everyone else. But a Vaishnava doesn't die like that because they are meant to be absorbed in the essence of life. Satam mayam sarga pratamane sargo yat artavani suti chetasam api pratikshanam anavivarachutase yat sriyabhithanami vasadu vartap. This is 10th canto, chapter 13, verse 2. That satam ayam, sat, those who are sadhus and sadvis, sargabhratam, they are interested in the essence of life, as if the whole essence of hearing and relishing was about that only. Yet artavani shruti chetasam api, the whole benefit of whatever they'll hear is this intensity. Pratikshanam, at every moment, navyavad, it's newer and fresher. Achyuta Sayat, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Achyuta. That is the goal of life. And if you give that to your God brothers and God sisters, or to devotees, that is the best thing to give them. It's the best gift. They taste that. That is dhanya, dhanyavan. That is wealthy. The real wealth of a devotee is this. Because that is what we have to focus on. Now you see that in Bhagavatam, that Bhishma Dev, after he was instructing Yudhishthira Maharaj, when it came time for him to depart, he closed off his senses from everything else and focused his mind on Krishna, exactly as he wanted to see Krishna and serve Krishna, and left his body very gloriously. Many examples of that in Shastra. Here and there. Dhruva, he mentioned that when he was begging the benedictions from Kuvera in the fourth canto, he says, Harish Chavibre Achalatamasmatera Yaya. Give me the benediction, he asked Kuvera, that my mind may never forget Krishna. Because that's the only way to cross over the ocean of difficult ocean of birth and death, if we don't forget. So the way that we don't forget The easiest way that you don't forget is to always package Krishna according to the way that particular devotee hankers. And if you give that all, it's the best thing that that devotee wants, because it transcends this material body. It transcends. You're empowering them. You're facilitating them. You're helping them leave this world with the right consciousness. And that could come at any moment. At any moment we can be kicked out of this body. Are we ready? Just like Prabhupada wrote in his Vrindavan Bhajan. Bhajan. On the Jaladutta. That if today the opportunity came for me to leave, I would surely be able to meet you. Because he had two strokes on the boat, two heart attacks on the boat. And his heart was very weak, and he was thinking that if I have a third one, we won't be able to make it. So he was preparing his mind. He said, we're ready to leave. If Krishna, if that's what you want us to do, if you want me to leave on this boat. So the idea of it is, and then he had a dream that Krishna was taking over the reins of the boat, and then everything became very calm and peaceful, and the boat finished his journey because Prabhupada had things to do. Then also another interesting thing, note, that in the Lalamrita was mentioned that when he had another heart attack and he was in New York, he told Brahmananda that actually according to my karma I should have died then. But all of you prayed to the Sringadeva, and they have given a reprieve. It turns out it was a 10-year reprieve. So this karmati nirdahati kintucha bhakti bhajan. If you do bhakti bhajan, there's nirdahati. Generally speaking, Krishna sometimes uses your karma to deliver a devotee. I saw that with one of my godbrothers that left his body in Vrindavan on Varuntani Ekadasi. It was very wonderful. He had a disease which he contracted from his youth before he met the devotees. And that disease, as it progressed, was the excuse that Krishna used to take him away from the world. But he was absorbed in hearing and chanting and talking to others about Krishna. And that was his main mood. And to underline the wonderfulness of that mood, Krishna took him on a very auspicious day. You don't die in Vrindavan in Varuntani Ekadasi. When a devotee leaves his body on Ekadasi, it's like there is no doubt about that devotee's destination. He was all auspicious. So, but the point is that all of us here in this room, we can all be kicked out at any time. When you look at that statement that Prabhupada said on his bhajan, that if today the opportunity came to leave, I would surely be ready to meet you. Now, have I learned from my Gurudev how to do that? Can we actually look in the mirror and say with conviction that if it happens to me today, I'm ready also to throw this body like trash, like something you flush down the toilet? Garbage, you know, refuse. Are we ready to throw this material body like that? Are we ready? Real love and affection means for our godbrothers and godsisters is to give that. To give that. That attachment so deep and so ecstatic that it steals the mind. Manohara. You know, the mind can go to Gauranga to Swayta Dweep by hearing Chaitanya Bhagavat or Chaitanya Katha. Just steals, it goes. Or Krishna Katha from Vrindavan, from Bhagavatam. Just steal, you know, the mind. And it just goes. And you can just literally forget by absorbing in that pastime, by absorbing that bhajan. Chew it, chew it, chew it, chew it. The more they chew it, I can just close my eyes and just leave. And go beyond. This is what this embassy of the spiritual world, this temple is, and our mutual friendship is for that. And we have, and our friendship means to give that. If you give that to your friend, or if you're married, you have a jailmate, another Vaishnavi or something, or a Vaishnava who is your jailmate, you know, give that. This transcends the jail. This helps you transcend the jail of the material world, of the material body, of your person. Help them to go back to home, back to Godhead. That is the most wonderful gift to help them. Just close your mind and heart to anything else. Now, we have to get that. Now, there's another pramanam I can give you on that regard. Is 8th Canto, chapter 3, verse 1. When Gajendra, when he realized that all hope was lost, there was no way out that he was going to win against that crocodile. After 1,000 celestial years of fighting and trying. A long time. Then, he remembered, Paramatma helped him remember in the heart. When you were Indradumna, Raja Indradumna, you had a very favorite verse that was very favorite. And Gajendra picked up the lotus flower and he chanted that verse and held it up and offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Vishnu personally came and cut him free from his bondage, come riding on Garuda. And in Milkute, they enact that pastime. It must be a specific titi. Actually, that's a very good question. I keep thinking about that and I don't keep asking it. I have to ask, what exactly is the titi that Gajendra Moksha happened? I remember in 1981 in Mayapur, Anaka Dundumi would chant it with such great love as he dressed Radha Madhava in the morning. On the altar, I could hear it very loudly. And that impressed me. He was singing from Gajendra Moksha prayers as he dressed the deities loudly. And I could see it beyond, I could hear it beyond the curtain with a melodious voice. And I thought, that's it. That's exactly what I'm doing. And then I heard Prabhupada say it on the tape. The tape is no longer extant. That if there's nobody to sing the arti, the pujari should do it. I thought, wow, that's my job. Guru Maharaj is saying what I should do. Sing for the deity. And he was, Anaka Dundumi was singing while he was dressing Radha Madhava in Mayapur. I was amazed with great love. That's what his Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat. Find what you like, memorize it, and sing your heart out. And it should steal the heart and mind so that if there's any time, you can do it. If you practice on a daily basis, there's something sweet and dear that you just absorb it. And it just like steals your heart and mind. You can transcend the realms of your building, of your room, anywhere in the world. You can just focus day and night. I asked Kurmarupa once in Vrindavan, how do you know this is really your relationship with Krishna? How do you know? How do you know that it's not some mental speculation on the part of the brain? He said, when at night or day, it steals the heart and takes it to your Lord. Night or day, topics about that subject matter steals the heart. Night or day. And another example of that is in the 12 names of Gauranga and Nityananda. In the Phalashruta of those 12 names, it says, anyone who chants these names in the morning, noon, night, or in the middle of the night, obtains Gauranga and Nittai. Or in the middle of the night. And Narmada Maharaj, who left his body in Vrindavan in 2006, he told Bhakti Vikash Maharaj and about his reminiscences about traditional Indian village life. He says, I remember when I was a small boy, my mama, maternal uncle, in the middle of the night, we would be sitting in Nellore on some chuttais in April, and we were fanning ourselves with hand fans at midnight, waiting for an ethereal breeze, he said, so we could go to sleep. And in the middle of the night, my mama, my maternal uncle, would call out, Ram, Govinda, Narayan, Hari, in the middle of the night, afraid that he would be forgetting the Lord in his sleep. And he said, and then whenever I was mischievous as a child, we would run into the neighbor's yard and we would jump on the trees and steal all the fruits. And the neighbor would complain to our parents and they would come and grab our ear and drag us back and said, stupid children, anything done without Ram, Narayan, Govinda, Hari's name is Bjart, is a waste of human life. I really read that deeply. And I was thinking, just see, to call out the names of the Lord any time, day or night, even in the middle of the night, if your mind is so attached, that is real life. Kumaran told me, this is how you know. It's exactly right. Now, in the bhajan could be apakva. That means the hearing and chanting has to become more intense. It has to be more pure, because the Lord will not reveal more until the devotee's hearing and chanting becomes more. So, okay. But at least we should know where we want to go. Where? In Navadvip, where? You know, in Vrindavan, where we want to go. Like Bhishma Dev knew where he wanted to go. Like that. And Kunti, many. There's many examples. You can dig around, you can find more. And real love for our God brothers and God sisters is to give that to them. You hit that raw nerve. You hit that, it's just right. It's just what I want. And the more they get that, then the more they're happy. And all their relationships with each other become perfect. And our preaching and everything. We're preaching, we're doing everything. We're taking care of Crossways, we're preaching. We're distributing Harinam, we're distributing. But if anything happens, we're ready. Another example in that book, that Blessed Death, by one of my God sisters, she had a premonition a few days before she was going to leave. And she was friends with Indraduna Maharaj's ex-wife. She opened her mind that, hey, I'm having these dreams. It was better become internal. So she did that. This God sister of mine in France became very internal. And when she had the accident, like that, as the premonition said, an auto accident in the snow, then the rescuers came to take her out of the automobile. That 20 minutes later, they said, the car was twisted up, and they said, don't worry, we're calling an ambulance, we're calling a crane, we'll tear you out of here. And she says, don't bother. I knew this was coming. And she picked up her beads, and she chanted Hare Krishna, and left. And her husband found out from that rescue worker, who told her husband later on, her last words before she left. It's all right. I knew this was coming. So Krishna does it. Krishna many times tells the devotees in the heart, today something strange is going to happen. Be prepared. So Krishna warns you as Paramatma. We warned many devotees. I talked to many devotees who mentioned, I had an accident. Really, what happened? Did you get any warning about it? Oh yeah. I had this funny feeling all day long that something weird is going to happen today. Whenever Paramatma gives you these strange things, I feel very strange. I think something weird is going to happen. Immediately, your mind must focus on the ultimate goal of life that day, more than anything else. Because who knows when it'll be our last time. But the devotees never have any regrets. That statement that Prabhupada said, if today the opportunity came for us to leave, I would surely be able to obtain you. Do we have that kind of greed? Do we have that kind of intensity of greed? We have to have that. Each one of us. And if we don't, we better get it. We better work at it. Get it more and more. And it comes by focusing on the nectar that sustains you. Ultimately, it will reveal your relationship with Krishna. Now, of course it's apakva. Of course we're neophytes. Of course we don't know. But you have a general idea. You can have a general idea by Shravana Kirtanam. That we have to cultivate. That is actually the nectar of Krishna consciousness. This is what Gauranga appeared to give. And this is what another aspect of our movement that we have to give. So if you give that to your God brother, your God sister, your spouse, then it's the best gift you could ever give them. And the more they taste it, and the more they taste it, the more the heart and mind is stolen. And the more. And that's, stealing is very important, because the material energy is very powerful. As we see, she is not a joke. And Krishna Karnamritam, this Chaitanya Chandramritam, Prabodhananda Saraswati Pad, glorifying Gauranga. And he says in one verse that, O Maya, I offer my respectful obeisance unto you. She is not a joke. She can do a lot of intensity. Of course, if you surrender to Krishna, then Maya will also cooperate. But we should not underestimate her power of control and distraction of living entities. Therefore, it is more important for us to taste that nectar that sustains us, that steals our mind and heart and takes it to Krishna and Gauranga. And therefore, this is what I understood when I read that bhajan, that Gal Gal Puna Gauranga Raguna Sharilo Korilo Vaughan. This is simplicity. Simplicity means I know what I have to focus on to be happy. I focus on Gauranga. I focus on Radha Vallabha. I focus on Tulsi Rani. I focus on Jagannath Balaji Subhadra. When I'm in trouble, I don't know anybody else but them. I don't know anybody else but them. They are my shelters. They are my friend. They will help. And they'll do it. They'll do it. If you need it, they'll do it. But we have to develop that sharana. We have to develop that mood. Simple. I'm just a simple boy. I don't know anybody else but them. And I depend completely on them, and they'll help us. That's what Krishna... I was always ecstatic about that. And that when Prabhupada said it, and they were banding it about in Denver, Colorado when I was a kid. And I was thinking, where'd that come from? That if you take one step towards Krishna, Krishna takes 10 steps towards you. And I remember I was asking Kavi Chandra Marsh, where did we get that? That was all over the movement. He goes, yeah, I remember that Sukadev was telling us in Los Angeles. It had to come from Prabhupada, because we were very simple. You know, we didn't, just, all we knew is what Prabhupada told us. It had to come from him. I remember that. Yeah, it was like wildfire in the 72. It was like the happening thing. That was like on everybody's mind in 72. Then I dug around in the folio. Well, I found the exact quote. It was March 25th of 1971 in Bombay in a Bhagavad Gita lecture. You take one step towards Krishna, he takes 10 steps towards you. Amazing. I remember walking home from the temple on a bus, when I took the bus back, going home to my parents as a kid, 15-year-old kid, and I was thinking, astounding! He's going to take 10 steps to a jerk like me. Stupid a kid. Do I have any qualification? Absolutely zilch. Our only qualification is some Vaishnava grabbed us, brought us to the temple, gave us some prasadam, gave us a little service, and we started chanting beads. We met Prabhupada, everything became wonderful. It's astounding. It's astounding. And if you do that, Gauranga will be kind. Because evidently Gauranga has been sold for whatever price that devotee cared to give us. Our spiritual masters. You know, whatever price they cared to pay, Gauranga agreed to be paid, be sold as a property from that devotee. And then we have to cultivate it now and make it go deeper and deeper. And then our life could be successful. So I want to thank all the devotees that have tolerated our existence here for the last 10 days. It's been really fun with Bhanu Swami and all of you. And this temple is the crest jewel of all the temples in Australia. I always say it because it really is. And everything else in Australia is basically a struggling joke in comparison to all of you. So... export that. This is what Devamrita Maharaj is trying to do with his boys in Sydney and like that. Export it. You have, all of you are so sweet and you work so together. Now export that. But do export this also, that your love and affection for each other gives us the ultimate goal of life for each and every devotee. This is really friendship. Do we have that? This is the next thing. This is the next thing that we have to give to our devotees. This will actually make this temple more than just a preaching place where new devotees come and get trained and we all live together with great happiness and friendship with each other, but it's a place where the ultimate goal of life is achieved, and we'll help you achieve it. That's another aspect of this temple. It's more than just an ordinary friendship between husband and wife, or between godbrother and godbrother, or brahmachari or brahmachari. It's more than that. We'll help you affectionately, will help you find out the nectar of life that's the goal of your life, and I'll push you in that direction so that you do nothing but hanker for that day and night. That's what Mahaprabhu Mundi should give, because Mahaprabhu is tasting it and Nittai is tasting it, huh? And Radha is talking about it and Gauranga is distributing it. So the deities are doing it. We have to serve them. Serving them means we have to do it. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Radha Vallabha ki jai. Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maya ki jai. Jai Srimad Mahaprabhu Nitai Ki Jai.